For several seconds, Langdon stared in wonder at the photograph of Saunière's postscript. P.S. Find Robert Langdon.
Now do you understand, Sophie said, why Fache ordered you here tonight, and why you are his primary suspect?
The only thing Langdon understood at the moment was why Fache had looked so smug when Langdon suggested Saunière would have accused his killer by name. Why would Saunière write this? Langdon demanded, his confusion now giving way to anger. Why would I want to kill Jacques Saunière?
Fache has yet to uncover a motive, but he has been recording his entire conversation with you tonight in hopes you might reveal one.
Langdon opened his mouth, but still no words came.
He's fitted with a miniature parabolic microphone, Sophie explained. It's connected to a transmitter in his pocket that radios the signal back to the command post.
This is impossible, Langdon stammered. I have an alibi. I went directly back to my hotel after my lecture. You can ask the hotel desk.
Fache already did. His report shows you retrieving your room key from the concierge at about 10:30. Unfortunately, the time of the murder was closer to 11. You easily could have left your hotel room unseen.
Langdon suddenly sensed that he needed a lawyer.
I didn't do this.
Sophie sighed.
This is not American television, Mr. Langdon. In France, the laws protect the police, not criminals. Unfortunately, in this case, there is also the media consideration. Jacques Saunière was a very prominent and well-loved figure in Paris, and his murder will be big news in the morning. Fache will be under immediate pressure to make a statement, and he looks a lot better having a suspect in custody already. Whether or not you are guilty, you most certainly will be held by DCPJ until they can figure out what really happened.
Langdon felt like a caged animal. Why are you telling me all this?
Because, Mr. Langdon, I believe you are innocent. And also, because it's partially my fault that you're in trouble.
I'm sorry? It's your fault Saunière is trying to frame me?
Saunière wasn't trying to frame you. It was a mistake. That message on the floor was meant for me.
Langdon needed a minute to process that one. I beg your pardon?
The numbered code is meaningless. Saunière wrote it to make sure the investigation included cryptographers, ensuring that I would know as soon as possible what had happened to him.
Langdon felt himself losing touch fast. But why do you think his message was for you?
The Vitruvian Man, she said flatly. That particular sketch has always been my favorite Da Vinci work. Tonight he used it to catch my attention.
Hold on. You're saying the curator knew your favorite piece of art? She nodded.
I'm sorry. This is all coming out of order. Jacques Saunière and I...
Sophie's voice caught, and Langdon heard a sudden melancholy there. Sophie and Jacques Saunière apparently had some kind of special relationship.
We had a falling out 10 years ago, Sophie said. We've barely spoken since. Tonight, when Crypto got the call that he had been murdered, and I saw the images of his body and text on the floor, I realized he was trying to send me a message.
Because of the Vitruvian Man?
Yes, and the letters P.S.
Postscript? She shook her head.
P.S. are my initials.
But your name is Sophie Neveu. She looked away.
P.S. is the nickname he called me when I lived with him. It stood for Princess Sophie.
Langdon had no response.
Silly, I know, she said. But it was years ago, when I was a little girl.
You knew him when you were a little girl?
Quite well,
she said, her eyes welling now with emotion.
Jacques Saunière was my grandfather.
Where's Langdon?
Fache demanded, as he paced back into the command post.
Still in the men's room, sir.
Lieutenant Collet had been expecting the question.
Fache grumbled. Taking his time, I see. Any chance he's on to us?
Collet shook his head.
We're still seeing small movements inside the men's room, so the GPS dot is obviously still on him.
Fache checked his watch.
Fine.
one of the DCPJ agents now called from across the office.
Captain, I think you'd better take this call.
He was holding out a telephone receiver, looking concerned.
Who is it?
Fash said. The agent frowned.
It's the director of our cryptology department.
And?
It's about Sophie Neveu, sir. Something is not quite right.
It was time. Silas felt strong as he stepped from the rented black Audi. He knew the task before him would require more finesse than force, and he left his handgun in the car. He whispered a brief prayer, then moved toward the church entrance. Pausing in the shadow of the massive doorway, he took a deep breath. It was not until this instant that he truly realized what he was about to do, and what awaited him inside.
The keystone. It will lead us to our final goal.
He raised his ghost-white fist and banged 3 times on the door. Moments later, the bolts of the enormous wooden door began to move. Sophie pictured her grandfather's body, naked and spread-eagle on the floor. There was a time when he had meant the world to her. Yet tonight, Sophie was surprised to feel almost no sadness for the man. Jacques Saunière was a stranger to her now. Their relationship had evaporated in a single instant one May night when she was 22.
10 years ago.
Sophie had come home a week early from graduate university in England and mistakenly witnessed her grandfather engaged in something Sophie was obviously not supposed to see. It was an image she barely could believe to this day. Too ashamed and stunned to endure her grandfather's pained attempts to explain, Sophie immediately moved out on her own. She vowed never to speak to anyone about what she had seen. Her grandfather tried desperately to reach her, sending cards and letters, begging Sophie to meet him so he could explain. Sophie never responded, except once, to forbid him ever to call her or try to meet her in public. She was afraid his explanation would be more terrifying than the incident itself. Incredibly, Saunière had never given up on her, and Sophie now possessed a decade's worth of correspondence unopened in a dresser drawer. To her grandfather's credit, he had never once disobeyed her request and phoned her.
Until this afternoon.